Chapter 25, An Unexpected Source. On Wednesday morning, Kylie awoke and tiptoed out to the living room. Although not nearly as bright as her room at Rheinstadt's, it was the brightest time of day in her apartment, with soft morning light streaming through the living room window. Soundlessly, she stood behind her couch and watched Misha sleep. She liked the way his dark lashes fringed his flushed high cheekbones, reminding her of old paintings she'd seen of sensuous-looking Italian youths picking grapes, their ruddy cheeks offset by their black curls, looking earthy, yet irresistibly innocent, just like Misha. Except for her confusion about Rheinstadt, she'd hardly noticed the guy in a long time. Well, seeing Misha so sweetly asleep opened her heart. After some moments, Misha's eyes fluttered open, as if he'd sensed her there. He raised a finger and traced a line on her arm with his fingertip. "Good morning," he smiled. There was that dimple that she had secretly come to adore. "Hey," she said, smiling back. "I'm starving. There's no food here unless you want ramen noodles. How about we go out and get some coffee and croissants? Then I can figure out what to do about my poor slashed-up furniture."
"Sure, we can go out, if that's what you want to do. Sounds like you're busy and I should take off and let you get your work done. I guess I'll see you tomorrow for Thanksgiving." He gave her a funny look.
"Yes, but maybe you want to come back later. How are you at making apple pie?"
Misha shrugged. "Not good. In my country, our apple pie is more like a cake. Not that I ever really baked anything. I'm good at making some things, though." His innocent look morphed into a devilish grin.
In one quick motion, his strong bare arms pulled her over the back of the couch until she toppled on top of him, and his arms encircled her. Her legs slid down as he covered her with his blanket. She was too surprised to protest, or perhaps she loved the feel of his bare skin. Kylie hungered for his kiss as their mouths sought each other. She forgot the coffee and croissants. She thought that Misha's skin must have been electric, since everywhere she touched him, which was practically all over, her hands tingled. Somehow her t-shirt and sweatpants pajamas had fallen off and were stuffed somewhere under his blanket. Magically, he had already lost his boxers. Had he slept naked? She rubbed her hand over the six-pack she had seen in the photo of him at the beach. He groaned as she moved her hand lower. All she wanted was his kisses and his hands all over the outside and inside of her. Misha obliged. "Ah, my condoms are in my car," he swore in Russian. "So much for being prepared," she panted. "It just calls for some creativity." Misha flipped around and kissed a trail down on her stomach to her thighs. Gently, he opened her legs with his fingers and got very creative with his tongue. Not that she had had all that much experience, but Kylie had never been touched by anyone who had really known what he was doing in that department. She started to contemplate just how many women he had practiced on to perfect his technique, but her racing heart overcame her thoughts. Wherever he touched her, she opened herself more to him, as if he were a violin virtuoso, with each sweep of his tongue as his bow, carrying her to some rapturous symphonic finish. "Very innovative indeed," she said, panting. This guy was as good at oral sex as he was at encryption. She definitely didn't consider herself an expert, but only knew that she wanted to make him feel good too. Kylie grinned and began licking small circles on his belly beyond. Her hands and mouth seemed to know what to do, teasing him, encircling him, kissing him, loving the way he closed his eyes and groaned until she had returned the favor. Afterwards, they lay in each other's arms for a long time. It was Misha who finally remembered coffee. While Kylie showered, he made a trip to a coffee shop and returned with two steaming cups and some croissants. After they had finished, Misha covered her face with kisses, which led to a repeat performance on the couch. When he finally left for home, it took Kylie a while to refocus and to finish her information-gathering expedition on Emil. Every avenue she tried was a dead end. She ran every kind of search that she could think of, but there was nothing on Emil Wickland. There was nothing on Emile, an interior designer, or a PR person either. Kylie was stumped. Perhaps his first name was not really Emile either. She so wanted it all to be okay and be over. She was ready to have a life again, but considering all that could be at stake, she would have to tell Misha, and probably Stuart too. Kylie mulled this over as she did the wash, got her hair highlighted, and bought a new dress. Never much of a sewer, Kylie did the best she could to mend the gashes on her couch cushions, but decided that she would christen it to the Frankenstein couch and cover it with a cozy fleece blanket. Misha showed up just after she had eaten some takeout and looked around amazed. "Wow, this looks like a different place. And you look gorgeous." They drove to the grocery across the river where Kylie pulled up a detailed list on her phone. After they had returned and restocked her kitchen, they rolled the dough, cut the apples, and assembled the ingredients for what promised to be two honest-to-goodness pies. Kylie even wove lattice strips on top. Proud of her work, Kylie settled in on the couch and called her mother while the pies baked.
"Where have you been?"
raged her mother.
"I've been calling you for days and you haven't answered."
Allison yelled so loudly that Misha could hear her from where he was checking on the pies. Kylie held the phone out from her ear as she listened to Allison go on.
"Next thing I know, you're all over the newspapers and TV. Kylie, what is going on with you? Are you even my daughter anymore? I shouldn't be getting this kind of news about my daughter on TV."
"Of course I'm still your daughter. I know that I've been hard to reach. Now you have an idea of what was going on, at least. I lost my phone during all the problems that I was having, so I'm calling you on one of those drugstore throwaways. I'm fine, though. I'll tell you all about it tomorrow at Thanksgiving. Speaking of that, I'm bringing two pies and a friend. His name is Misha."
"Oh, you're just full of surprises. How long have you been seeing him?"
"I'm not seeing him. He's doing some work with me. Is this a problem?"
"No, it's fine. We'll see you around 11 then."
When the pies were out of the oven and were cooling on top of the stove, Misha put on his jacket. "I must do some work, so I'll go now. But I'll see you tomorrow, okay? I want to be well rested for Thanksgiving if I'm to make a good impression." "You're mad because I told my mother that you're just someone who works for me, aren't you? Look, this morning was fun, but it's not like I'm taking you home to meet my parents like we're, a serious couple, you know. I mean, we aren't really a couple yet, right?" Misha studied the floor. Kylie noticed his jaw muscles tighten. "I guess if that's what you think, that's fine. No problem. Will you be all right here alone?" "Yes, I'll be fine. But I want to tell you something before you go." She spilled the story about meeting Emile and how she thought that Emile and Emily Wickland were the same person. "Wow. That's pretty amazing." "I know. The thing is, I sent something really fishy there, and I've been trying to find out more about Emile, but I've hit a wall. He doesn't seem to exist anywhere, especially since I don't even have his last name. I thought you might have something up your sleeve that we could use." "Yeah, that's tough. The bad thing about databases is that you have to have some initial information to run a query before you can get any information. Sounds like you did all the right things. I should mention, though, that in Russia, we have a facial recognition app that's not in this country yet. Maybe we'll integrate that into the next version of OMG, right?" "Absolutely. Please tell me you have the app," said Kylie. "Actually, I do." He smiled, pulled out his phone, and opened the app. "Here, look. It works by matching the photos with profiles on Russia's version of Facebook called VKontakte. Text me Emily's photo. We could try it." "Yes, of course, the photo is of Emily Wickland, not Emile. But if I'm right about them being the same person, it could identify him. Give me a minute." Kylie opened the photo she's been studying of Emily Wickland and texted it to Misha. "Got it," he said when it came through a moment later. He uploaded it into his app, and within minutes, he had a list of similar-looking Russian beauties. He scrolled down the list with interest and mumbled something in Russian. "What does that mean?" asked Kylie. "Where were all these women when I lived in Russia?" "Ha-ha, you have a VKontakte account. You can certainly contact them if you want." Don't be an idiot, he said as he continued to scroll down through the list. After moments of this, he slowed at a photo of an androgynous, short-haired woman. Look at this one, he said. I can't tell if this is a woman or a man. Do you think this could be Emil? He handed Kylie his phone. Kylie enlarged the image and studied the beautiful aquamarine eyes and perfect smile staring back at her. Wow, it could be. Click on it. Misha obliged, and they both stared at the profile of a man called Emil Azarov. He had hundreds of friends. Misha clicked his friend list and found they were all young boys. Weird, he said. We have no idea if this is related, but I think you should call Stuart. Right, no doubt about it. Okay, look, I'm going to go home and do some work. I'll send you a screenshot of the page to send to Stuart. Are you sure you're okay to stay by yourself? Misha slipped the phone back in his pocket. I'll be fine, she said. She didn't feel fine, but she had to be alone in her place sometime. Fox had polluted her place with his intrusion. But now, the new memory of making love with Misha, paired with apple pie aroma, there was a wholesome, homey feel to her apartment. This was more than that. This wasn't about Jerry Fox. She didn't want Misha to go. Kylie couldn't remember feeling so rattled by a guy. After he had left, she called the bureau and left a message for Stuart. He called her back 5 minutes later, and Kylie explained the entire Emil story. So, OMG, the miracle program isn't infallible, he asked. Looks like it, but Misha used his Russian facial recognition app called VKontakte. He found a profile of a man called Emil Azarov, who has an amazing resemblance to Emil. I can send it to you as soon as I get it from Misha. Yes, please do that. It's a holiday weekend and we're a little light-staffed. It might take a while. This is more of a favor, just to satisfy your hunch. I think you should make it a priority. I have a weird feeling about this. What if it's related to the virus? If someone seems really solid on the outside, there's some backroom craziness going on inside. Isn't that a valid enough reason to check it out? Yes and no. Obviously, your world-class talent for snooping helped solve a horrible crime, and that's because you trusted your gut. So yes, it can pay off. On the other hand, you can't just go digging up dirt on everyone looking for things. This isn't everyone. This is the lover of a man who may very well get elected to the Senate and who isn't who she seems. Or he isn't. I'm not sure which. Okay, Kylie, I'll look into this, but promise me that if I come up empty, you'll drop it? I promise. Good. Now, have a good Thanksgiving with your family tomorrow and forget about this. Thanks, you too. She sent him the information as soon as she got it from Misha. Feeling a little unsettled, she watched the news and painted her nails with a bright red polish. When it was dry, she crawled into her bed, missing Misha, until she finally drifted off to sleep.